today we're going to wrap up our High Calling Discipleship series that we've been doing for over 5 months. So I think it's the longest series we've ever done at church. So what I want to do is just kind of a big overview today of some of the things that we talked about. And just think about the teachings of Jesus and how we can apply those to our lives. And maybe there'd just be even something in there you want to think about. Oh yeah, I remember that one. And yeah, I want to work on that. Or oh yeah, I want to connect with God in that way, or whatever. There's not really a verse that says, hey, look at all the teachings, find one and focus in on it. But I think there is this element of where it's like, there's just so much stuff, so many different things. And the way that just our minds work, I think it's helpful to kind of think, you know, this is my area of focus right now. This is the thing I want to hone in on. And maybe even with the coming new year, is there anything that God's put on your heart that you'd want to think about some more or work on? And even as we go through these different topics, there might be stuff that's like, oh, I didn't hear that message. And maybe you'd want to go back and listen to something if you feel like it's something that would be meaningful to you and your own walk with Jesus. So let's pray and we'll just jump into it here. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be at work here today and just that you would just refresh us in these truths and these teachings. You would just help us to be able to apply these things to our lives. There's not a lot of value in just coming and learning about a whole bunch of things that are really hard or pointing out a bunch of different ways that we don't measure up or something like that. God, we really want to follow you and grow and change and have different lives, be different people. And so for that to happen, it's really going to be a work of God and not just us hunkering down or something. And so we ask for you to be at work, just at work in our hearts and helping us to understand your heart in each of these areas. And particularly, God, I just pray you'd give each of us just something that's maybe an area of focus for the coming year, something that we could apply in a very practical way in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, in our workplace, with our neighbors. God, whatever it is, God, I pray that you would just really make that real clear to us here today. And so we just thank you for this time here and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, clear back at the very beginning of the series, we looked at the teaching to take the log out of your own eye. And I took that little branch and stuck it in my eye. And I think it's a really good teaching to think about because it's so easy as we look at the different teachings of Jesus to think about how good each of those teachings would be for different people in your life. You're like, oh, I wish so-and-so could hear this. Oh, yeah, and this would be perfect for, yeah, I should send him that link. Oh, is that going to look awkward? You know, it's just so easy to do that. And I think Jesus wants us to look at your own life, apply these things in your own life. And then if you ever get that all figured out, then you can maybe worry about other people. I'm not sure that that ever happens, but it's so important. It's just so easy for us to not apply things in our own lives and see how that fits so well with other people. So really important teaching. I think this one's also really foundational. And Jesus said that whoever hears his words and doesn't put them into practice is like someone who builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come, they beat against the house and the house gets destroyed. But when we hear his words and we put them into practice, it's like building your house on a rock. And then it's able to survive the trials of life. And the key there is that we're putting them into practice. Again, that's really hard to do. We'd rather have somebody else put them into practice, or we would rather talk about them. You know, let's talk about Jesus' teachings. Let's have Bible study about these teachings. Let's look up each of these things in the Greek, and let's really figure them out. There's value in some of that, obviously, but the key is to put them into practice, not just to keep studying and studying and studying his teachings. And so that's something that's important for us. I think even just in American Christianity, for some reason, it has taken a bit of that flavor where we like to think more about studying the scripture than applying the teachings. Dove spoke on the heart of anger, and he gave an illustration that probably none of us will ever forget about his roommate hitting him on the leg with a bowling pin. He talked about just how there's this outward expression of anger, but it's flowing out of what's going on inside. So I think of it kind of twofold. I think it's really good to change outward behavior. I think that's a healthy thing. Like with anger, maybe that would go along with cussing or throwing things or kicking orphans or what, you know, it's just, there's behavior that's, and by all means, let's work on that behavior, right? Let's cut that stuff off. But there's also something that he focused on of there's a deeper issue, right? There's a root. We're seeing the fruit of that root, but there's a root in our heart that needs work. And so something like anger, we need to realize, if I'm getting angry at people all the time, there's probably something going on in my heart, right? Maybe I'm looking down on them. Maybe I'm selfish. Maybe I'm wounded myself. And to think through our hearts and work on that anger at a heart level as well as outward expression. We talked about forgiveness. And Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive somebody? 7 times? Thinking like, that would be a lot. That's a really generous thing. And Jesus said, I tell you not 7, but 77 times. Or some translations will say 7 times 70. Either way, that's a lot of times. And I took a bag of marbles during that sermon and dropped them. I don't remember if I dropped all 77. But in any case, when you are like, forgive, 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 you know, after a while, it's like, okay, that's enough. Like, that is a lot of forgiveness. And I think maybe Jesus's point there wasn't just, okay, well, after 77, then you draw your line, you know, past that, then you can cut them off. And I don't think that's the point as much as just, I want you guys to have a forgiving spirit. I want you guys to be forgivers like your Father in heaven is. And so we looked at that and then talked about serving. Of course, Jesus took the disciples when they were meeting together and he washed their feet because there was no servant there to wash everybody's feet. That was kind of a thing back in the day. It's quite an expression of service for Jesus, the creator of the universe, to kind of bow down and do such a menial task of service for people. And even to think through specific people and to think that he washed the feet of Judas who would betray him, or Peter who denied him, or Thomas who doubted him, and that he would put himself beneath those people in a sense and serve them. It's like, wow, what a beautiful thing. And then he said, I set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Personally, I think this relates more to saying, do this type of stuff, like be a servant, have this heart, like the heart I just showed you, more so than kind of have this be a ceremony like communion or something. Talk about walking in love. 2 John 6, it says, as you've heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So evidently this is one of Jesus's teachings. And we talked about how important it is just to see people as people, to see them as valuable, as beings who God values. We talked about like a musical instrument. Like if you understand a guitar and how it's made and how sensitive it is and how it, you know, if it's just out of whack a little bit, it doesn't sound right anymore. And so you really have to take care of it and make sure it doesn't warp and you don't want to knock it over. And when we understand these things about it, we're sensitive with it. We care about it, right? We want to protect these instruments because we honor them. They're valuable to us. And I think they have that spirit towards people. Like, these are people who are precious to God. These are people who God really cares about. And I think people love being treated that way. A couple of weeks ago, I did a video on atheism, and I posted it up on the web, and I haven't shared it to my Facebook or anything yet, but got into a few arguments since then with some atheists, and it's really fascinating how, you know, they'll just come in flaming mad. One guy, he like starts off, and he's like, you're not even coherent. You're so angry. Like, I'm not sure what you're saying, and I get into a conversation with him. I'm just treating him like a person, though, not like an atheist or a God-hater or something. We're just going back and forth a little bit, and I'm like, okay, it sounds like what you're saying is that you would like to believe in God, but you can't because you can't believe it intellectually. And he's like, yeah, I've never thought about it that way. I guess that is what you're saying. I'm like, wow, that must be really hard. You know, that's challenging. If you ever want to talk, I'd love to talk to you. And he's like, wow, thanks, Steve. You know, and it started from being this, you know, it started from being this just to this great conversation. And I don't know how many people I've gotten into conversations with since I posted that, maybe 8 or so. One of them, I just had to say, you know, it seems like we got off on the wrong foot. Let's be done here. But the rest, you know, we've had some great conversations. It's been really good because they're being treated with care, as people, with real thoughts, real concerns, real hurts, real pain, real needs. And we need to see each other that way more and more, I think. Talked about storing up treasures in heaven. Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we need to have this mindset of there are things that we do here on the earth that are valuable to God, that he rewards, that someday in eternity you get, you know, a gold crown. And that doesn't necessarily mean a lot to us, but just if we could see that there's something up in heaven that's worth it in comparison to stuff here that just rots and fades away, that would help us just to kind of let go of this life a little bit. And I think money is something that really competes for our hearts. And for us to be able to just say, you know what, I'm thankful for my money and I'm going to let it be a servant, but it's not something that's going to latch onto my heart. That's a hard thing to do, I think, with the riches that we enjoy in our country. Dev spoke about the invitation to rest. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so that's a picture of a yoke. That's one for two oxen. And so the idea is, you know, take my yoke upon you, because my burden, the thing that you're pulling, is not a heavy burden. It's like this wagon full of bricks. It's light. It's like a bag of styrofoam with wheels or something. He's saying, this is not hard, what I'm calling you into. Now, obviously, in some ways, we know there are some hard things that he's called us into, but there's this heart thing that I think we think, oh, it's just so challenging to follow God. And he's like, just trust me. Come with me. Follow me. And I think he's really inviting us into a place where we're not always striving for something we can't achieve, but it's this place of rest where we can rest in our relationship with Jesus. And so that's a great message. Talked about unity. This is a wild verse. Jesus is praying in John 17, and he said, I have given those who would believe in me the glory that you gave me, talking to the Father, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Okay, so he's praying that his people would be one as Jesus and God the Father are one. It's like, well, that's a pretty high expectation there, I think. And, you know, marriage is probably what's easiest for me to think about with that. And one of the things that's helpful for me is just thinking, like, being attached together, super glued together. If Kathleen and I could super glue our hands together and just be like, okay, we're stuck together for life because of a commitment that we made that we would be married for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health and all that stuff. You know, it's like, okay, well, now we've got to kind of figure things out, and we might have some different thoughts on things. We had some different thoughts on some things this morning. You know, it's challenging sometimes, but because you're married and you're stuck together, it's like, but we've got to figure it out because of a commitment we've made. And yet, Jesus seems to be praying this for his followers, and I think there's an element where there can be a healthiness to having almost that level of commitment just toward one another. Of, hey, I am for you. I've got your back. I'm going to speak the best about you. I'm going to try to believe the best about you. I'm going to work through issues when they come up. When I get offended, we're going to try to figure that out. I'm not just going to be like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm hurt. That's a difficult thing. And I think it helps just to make a decision of, oh, hey, this is the level of commitment that I want to have to this person or to this group of people. Super glue level of commitment. In Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about not worrying. And that bothers us, right? Because just even him saying that makes us worry about that. It's like, oh, I'm worrying too much. You know, I feel terrible, you know. And it's just part of who we are. And the whole flavor there is, the whole passage is talking about not just don't worry or you're a bad person, but don't worry because He's got it. He talks about the lilies of the field and how nicely they're dressed. And he's saying, hey, you know, these plants don't have to worry about stuff, and they look okay. They're doing all right. You know, and birds, sparrows, you know, they eat, and they seem happy. They're flying around. They're singing songs and stuff, and they're not all worried. Your Father's taking care of them. Don't you think that you're worth more than a whole bunch of sparrows? Certainly. And the idea is, hey, if God takes care of these other things, and certainly he loves you enough to take care of you, and so you can entrust yourself to him. Again, not that everything's going to be easy, but at least you know, it's like, yeah, but God's got it. Nothing's happening that's not crossing his desk with his approval and his care and concern over that. And so we talk about the little kid song. He's got the whole world in his hands. And he does. He's got the whole world in his hands, including you. Oh, we talked about fishing. You guys saw how bad of a fisherman I was. So I casted once, got my line caught in the ceiling. Jesus said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I think that's kind of cool. I'm a pretty shy person myself. I may not seem like it on stage, but I don't like talking to people. It's just hard. And talking to people about Jesus, that's even harder because people think that's weird and stuff. And yet, there's this aspect of our life that has this mission associated with it of sharing this message with the world. And for sure, sometimes that's our actions. Sometimes it's just being nice to somebody. But hopefully, sometimes it's we actually get to talk to somebody about how God sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross in our place to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life by believing in him. I mean, what a cool thing if you get to share that story with somebody and they cross from death to life and that changes their whole life. Maybe their spouse too. Maybe their family. Maybe generations of families. And God let you be a part of that journey. Isn't that exciting? For me, it is. I think, man, I want my life to count for something, and I can't imagine what would count for more than something like that. And so I think the idea of fishing for people is a pretty exciting idea. We talked about the most important command. Jesus said the most important commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And we can think, oh, yeah, I should read my Bible more. It's like, well, that's not exactly what it said. You know, it's something different. That it's not this, oh, I need to go to church every week, or I need to memorize a bunch of verses, although that's good. But to love him from the heart. And I think those other things are great. It's kind of like dating. It's like spending time with God in different ways. That's awesome. But I think one of the most valuable things is just to understand what he's done for us. As we focus on what Jesus did on the cross and the forgiveness we've been shown, the love we've been shown, then we have this response of love back to him. So a way to love God more is to think more about your own forgiveness and what he's done for you and how he's taken you from being an enemy of God to a friend of God. That's an amazing thing, an amazing thing. Blaise spoke on the royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And I think it's good for us to think about when we become followers of Jesus or believers in Jesus, that there's a significant transition that takes place. And so, like, if you think of a priest and how they would have to live differently and think differently, I think that's a helpful analogy that, you know, they wake up in the morning, they're like, I'm a priest. I'm going to do priestly stuff today. I'm going to get dressed as a priest. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do the things that God calls me to do as a priest. And that's like their role, their job. It's how they see themselves. It's how everybody else sees them. And that's what we are. We're God's priesthood. And we clothe ourselves with certain deeds, certain actions, like the things we've talked about throughout this series. And we think of ourselves differently, and we act differently, and we start imitating God. So we're, I mean, either as a priest, or we're members, citizens of a new kingdom, or been adopted into a new family. It could be different illustrations we could use there, but there's this significant change that happens, and we need to see ourselves according to that significant change and not just be stuck in the old way of thinking about ourselves. Jesus said the second most important commandment was to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Dev spoke on this and talked about how for us to love other people, one of the things that's really helpful is for us to feel loved first, to receive love from others, but mostly from God. And then we have love to give. And so it's not always just a hunker down and love more, but to realize that we're loved, and as we accept that, we're a little less needy ourselves. We have something to offer instead of just take. You could even think of the lunchbox and how if you wanted to share things from the lunchbox with other people, candy or whatever, you know, first you would have to put things into the lunchbox. And it's kind of like that, where we need to receive God's love before we have love to offer other people. Jesus talked about being on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees, basically their false teachings, because they seem like maybe it's no big deal, like a little piece of yeast, but yeast, we know, works through the whole loaf, right, and has this huge impact, even though it seems really small. And I think in today's day and age, this is a really big deal because there are so many teachers out there, all kinds of things. And it can be, you know, the world, it can be the music and the internet and the magazines and wherever we're receiving input from it, but even Christian sources or sources that kind of look like they're Christian. Maybe they're kind of pseudo-Christian or something. And, you know, it's just so easy to take in input and not be leery of it. And we need to be careful to say, you know what, I think there's a danger in that. And I really want to be careful to listen to good teaching. So one of the things that's really helpful in that is just to immerse ourselves in the teaching of God. To read scripture, to maybe even read more scripture than we do other things. To make sure that we're getting a good diet of truth. I don't know. It's just something to think about, but there's certainly a danger in false teaching. We talked about believing, just like the message of Jesus. And how important this is, and how before we put our faith in Jesus, we're like that shattered light bulb, right? Where we know we're kind of messed up and we're broken, but I think the grand deception is that we think, oh, yeah, I can fix that. You know, it's like taking the light bulb and trying to super glue it back together. You know, that's just not going to happen, is it? It's damaged at too great of a level, and that's the way we are before God. We're too broken. It says that nothing impure will enter heaven. And even if you didn't sin again for the rest of your life, you're already impure because you've already sinned. All we can do is trust or believe in God as our Savior. John 6:29, Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. We need to believe in Jesus. And then God forgives us. We cross from death to life. We enter into his family, into his kingdom, into a new relationship with him. And we're transformed. 2 Corinthians, it says, the old is gone, the new has come. He gives us a new life. It's like, wow, that's an amazing thing, to go from being broken and shattered to being given a new life. Jesus talked about how it's important that we would just kind of side with him, that we would publicly acknowledge him. I talked about how in college, for whatever reason in that day and age, you could only wear your backpack with one strap. If you wore it with two, you were an outcast, you were a loser. And so I used to ride my bike to campus. When you ride your bike, you wear two. And I would get off my bike, and I'd be like, I am not going to succumb to peer pressure. And so I would just walk around feeling like a loser. There's nothing spiritual about that. That's just, we want to be accepted by people. We want to fit in. And that's hard sometimes, right? When you know, so what did you do yesterday? Oh, I went to church. You know, even saying something like that could be hard. And just to accept, you know what? I'm going to be in some uncomfortable situations. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with identifying with Christ. I think that's very natural for us to be in situations that are a little awkward at times, but to just be strong, be willing to say, you know what, I am a Christian, and I do believe in God, and I do believe some weird things, some things that you're going to mock if I tell you. That's all right. It's all right. Oh man, this is a hard one. Love your enemy. Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And that's just one of many difficult things that he said in that passage, right? He talks about someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to the other also. He talks about if someone asks for something, you give it to them. If they borrow, don't expect repayment. I mean, that's challenging. There's a lot of really tough things in that section. But one of the things that I took from that was just, he talks in that section about being like our Father in heaven. And so my nameplate's up there because I think of my kids. You know, I hope my kids want to be like me. And there's an aspect where I want to be like my dad. And so as God's children, I want to be like God. And I want to follow him. And I'm so thankful that God loved his enemies, because I was one of his enemies. And he loved me right in that spot. And I want to be like him. I mean, if I think about the practicals of it, I don't. But if I think of just conceptually, I want to be like God. But God is very gracious, very loving, very forgiving, way more than I am. And that's where it's like, oh, okay, that doesn't feel super comfortable. So it helps if I can kind of focus on, but that's how God is. And so I want to imitate that. This was, I don't know, for me, maybe those are the two hardest teachings, the loving your enemy and prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And he has a lot of other verses on prayer as well. For me, that's really challenging because it comes across a little like, a lot like a blank check. Hey, if you need something, just ask. And there's a couple different responses I have to that. So one response is, wow, that's really cool. That's awesome. And then the other response is like, well, it doesn't always work that way. That doesn't seem to work out very well. And so a couple takeaways there. One is just, I think, to capture that heart, that Father's heart that God has. I think it's really true. We ask and seek and knock. And as long as that's good for us, and as long as that's good for the plan of God, the will of God, then God wants to answer that. And he will. He promises to do that. But he doesn't a lot of the time, at least as I see it. And that's where I think it's helpful if we can give God a little bit of grace that life, even my life, is a lot more complicated than I think. And I gave the example of my dad paying for my college. I was really grateful for that. That was awesome. I'm so glad he did that. But it's hard. Just something as simple as that. Like, is that a good thing? It's like, well, I don't know. I'm not really sure it was in my life. I think maybe there'd be some lessons that I would have learned. I would have taken school more seriously if I had to pay my own way, or most of my own way, or part of my own way, you know. So even something as simple as that, it's hard to weigh that out. And just to trust God that, you know what, God has a heart to bless. He does love you. He is taking care of you. He is answering prayers that align with your good and the good of his will. But sometimes it's hard for us to see what that would look like. Dove spoke on giving thanks a couple of weeks ago and talked about the lepers who were cleansed, and one came back and thanked him, and that was a really good thing. So I thought of a couple different things for this sermon. One was a tooth. I don't know if you remember at the beginning of his message, he talked about, I don't know if it was a friend or relative or whatever, but the tooth fairy had given his son $20 for his tooth. Remember that? And the kid was very ungrateful for the tooth. It reminded me of some things from Elizabeth's video there, too. And you just think, oh, the twerpy little kid, you know, what's wrong with him? And it's just kind of ugly, right? And so I thought about using the tooth for the illustration, but I was actually going to get a tooth, and it's like, I don't know what I would do with a model tooth. And then the cool ones are really expensive. So the other thing I thought of was a turkey for Thanksgiving, because it was kind of Thanksgiving. So I actually bought an inflatable turkey. And I'm not sure why, because it's like, well, what am I going to do with that? Like, so you'll just have to imagine it today. I'm sure it'll come up at some point in some future sermon. But yeah, I didn't bring either a tooth or an inflatable turkey to show you. You can imagine both, though, pretty well. The tooth fairy example, man, that's so good. I mean, it's so first world, right? It's like, when do we ever have the right to complain? Because we are so blessed compared to this generation. But like, even if you look at just past generations and stuff, it's like, man, we are the richest of the rich. And we're so blessed in so many ways, and even spiritually. And just, you know, I probably have 30 Bibles in my home, and, you know, a whole bunch of different translations, and we can come to church and we can worship God. And, you know, there are so many things that we are blessed in. Yeah, I think to maintain that spirit of thankfulness, man, God's really been good, instead of, well, he didn't do this, and he didn't do this, and he didn't do this. So I think that's really important for our spiritual health. Last week, we talked about seeking first his kingdom, and I did want to show you my raccoon that I bought, but it comes in tomorrow, so you guys are going to miss out on my raccoon, but that's him there on the bottom right there. He's really cute. I don't know what I'm going to do with him either. Some of these, just so I'm up front, some of these the church is buying, and some of them I'm paying for with my own money. So if there's any chance I'll use it in any way, I'm glad to pay for it. But like the little priest figure, that's on the church. I'm not paying for that. So in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And we talked about not loving the world. And I think sometimes that can kind of come across as like, you really need to hate life and not have any fun. And I don't think that's God's spirit. We talked about that last week, just how there are verses about, you know, enjoying what we've been given. And even rich people, it talked about how, you know, they had been given things for their enjoyment. I mean, that's a wild thing. It's okay to enjoy things. It's okay to enjoy beauty and art and music and intimacy and health. And, you know, there are just so many different, what a beautiful world God's given us. It's almost like to be thankful, we have to grasp that. I have a lot to be thankful for. I enjoy certain things in life. But God doesn't want our hearts locked into those things. And so he warns us that those things are just temporary things. And so we looked at a little video of a raccoon last week. And the raccoon was given a piece of cotton candy. He's really excited about it. I don't know if they have a normal diet of cotton candy or how he knew it was amazing, but you could tell he thought it was amazing. And so he got it, and he was going to wash it off, and he stuck it in the little creek, and he started washing it off. And then, oh, the sadness when it just dissolved, and his brain exploded. And he's like, what happened? I had cotton candy, and now it's gone. And I think that really ties into not loving the world. God's wanting us to understand, you know, hey, I made you a beautiful world. Enjoy it, but it's not going to last. Don't lock your heart in here. This is just temporary stuff. Lock your heart into things that last. Seek first his kingdom. Don't worry so much about these things. Enjoy them, but don't lock into them. So that's your review. So we should start today's message probably. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I just have one more point to add to the series. Just big picture. So this is point number 22. It's just follow me. He's just inviting us to follow him. And there are a bunch of different verses we could look at on this, but this one's John 12:26. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And I really like that image of the little kid in his father's shoes is how I think about it. And you can imagine this little kid, right, like wanting to follow dad and being pretty clumsy about it because he's wearing these shoes that don't fit. And he probably stumbles and trips, falls down and gets back up, maybe cries a little bit, and then keeps going. And over time, he gets a little bit better at walking, and he grows a little bit, and he fits into the shoes a little bit more. And so as we look at this series, I hope there's stuff you're like, man, yeah, you know what, I really want to work on anger. But there's this other aspect of, like, you're so not ever going to measure up. Like, we can go through the same series again in 20 years. And you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, well, I'm glad I worked on those things for 20 years because now I've got it all down, right? I mean, you're always going to have plenty of room to grow. And we've got some big shoes to fill, right? We're not ever going to like measure up or reach some point where it's like, okay, I've got it all figured out. I'm the perfect disciple of Jesus now. It's not like that. And so I think there's an aspect of, there's a seriousness of following God. Like I think of Jesus, is in John, I think it's 14. He talks about, if you love me, you'll obey me. And there is a seriousness of, he really wants us to try to grow in these things. But there's also this relationship and this journey aspect of it. So it's very different. Like the Old Testament, it's like, okay, here's the Ten Commandments. Do this stuff. And about 300 other rules too. Do this stuff or really bad things are going to happen to you. You know, this is different. Sure, there are things that Jesus wants us to do, but it's not the Ten Commandments. It's not this, okay, here are your rules, do that. It's this relationship that he's calling us in. He's like, hey, come follow me. And do you think there's going to be grace on that journey? As the disciples are following, they're doing foolish things, they're arguing with one another and stuff. And I'm sure there are times he just is kind of shaking his head like, you guys, you know. But he loved them. He didn't strike any of them dead. He didn't cover any of them with boils or anything. You know, it's he cared about them. And he loved them, served them, he washed their feet, he taught them, he gave them grace. And that's the way he treats us too. So I hope as we've gone through the series, you don't have this overwhelming feeling of, oh man, there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm failing in. I hope there's some stuff you're like, yeah, you know, I can work on some stuff. I need to go before God and ask for his help in some areas. But I hope there's also this, man, God's cool. I want to be like him. I want to grow up to be like him. And I want to be on that journey. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your teachings and just thank you for your great love for us. And I pray, God, just that you would help each of us just to be able to be good followers of you. And to continue growing. We all have stuff that we can work on, stuff that needs to change. Pray you'd help us to focus on the big things. We wouldn't get caught up in the minor things and miss the big things, kind of like the Pharisees. But God, we'd be able to just really focus on the big things, loving you, loving your people. And that you would help us in keeping a balance in our lives, help us to enjoy you, but also to pursue holiness. And I pray that you would just do an amazing work in us, God, as a group of people, as your little church family that meets here in this building, but also as individuals. And so we thank you for the call that you have on our lives, and just ask, God, you would be at work in us. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.